Good evening. I'm going to talk to you this evening about reaching your potential and what matters. So many times we think little things don't really matter. We think, you know, taking out the trash, doing chores, different things like that are just the things we do day in, day out. And it's easy for us to look at them as insignificant or not important. But and a lot of times we think, well, you know, if we could just be the pastor or be the father, we all, from childhood up, you're always looking ahead at something better, something higher you want to be at. And that's good. You need to have a vision. But it's wrong to be discontent with where you're at now.
Right.
Because of where you want to be.
Right.
I'm going to read a story here, and I think it helps illustrate what I'm wanting to teach this evening. It's called The Greatest Test. 2 days ago, at a neighbor's house, I picked up a weekly paper and glanced idly at the front cover. The title of a small news article caught my attention: Eagle Downs Jet Fighter. Although the account was short, I thought the story was unusual. I read it a second time. Here's what the item said. Istvan, a Turkish fighter pilot, lost control after hitting an eagle in flight last week and was killed when his plane crashed near Melita, southern Turkey. The eagle smashed the cockpit cover of the aircraft, according to the reports reaching here. What a strange accident. I tried to picture the scene in my mind. Undoubtedly, the pilot had been trained by the Turkish Air Force and taught how to handle a plane in combat. The plane was likely equipped with guns and small bombs capable of easily crippling another plane or damaging a city. That, I had to think, is the irony of this tragic event. The plane was designed for rugged service. Outfitted for a powerful engine, with a powerful engine, and armed with deadly weapons in the hands of a skilled pilot. Yet it was wrecked by as small an object as a lone eagle flying into the cockpit. The pilot could have handled an enemy plane 100 times the size of the bird, yet he was helpless to cope with the eagle. In the same way, often the small problems that we meet every day can be more difficult to handle than the big disasters we prepare ourselves for. The Turkish Air Force pilot learned this lesson in an unfortunately fatal way. It can be a bitterly painful lesson for us too. All of us know people who have some great handicap in life, perhaps being blind, crippled, or bedfast. We marvel at the grace and strength of these people to overcome their trials and face life cheerfully. It is right that we think occasionally what we would do if we were faced with similar circumstances. Yet there is a danger lest we arm ourselves to withstand the truly great trials of life and meanwhile find ourselves wrecked by what we did not even consider big enough to be important.
Good.
The vexing problem of everyday life. Many men who have stood up nobly before great disasters have failed at home. They found themselves too weak to stand up under the stress and strain of domestic cares and gave way to complaining and fault-finding, bringing unhappiness into the lives of their loved ones. There is something about the small, everyday duties that have a way of grinding down our spirit. There is so little glamour in scrubbing floors, so little adventure in cleaning the cow stable. Day after day passes us, and as we plod along in the rut of routine, our work doesn't look important or exciting. We get on each other's nerves, flare up, and sap back. Then suddenly we realize that even though we might have been able to stand up beautifully if some accident had struck us, or there were a death in the family, yet we have failed completely in the greatest test of all. That being cheerful and pleasant in common task of everyday living. The shame of it is that it would take so little so little to make our home life an inspiration and a joy instead of a gloomy ordeal that depresses the entire household. Often the difference may be as slight as a smile, a word, or a song. Happiness and enthusiasm are catching and just as easy to spread as frowns and discontentment.
Good.
At home, we take so much for granted, and most of the time without even thank you or a word of appreciation. We have careful thoughts for the stranger and smiles for the sometimes guest, but all for our own, the bitter tone. Those whom who love our own the best, though we love our own the best. No one else does as much for us as those we live with every day. Yet how unfair we are in saving the smile for the stranger and behaving irritably at home. One well-known communist has said, "It is amazing but true that practically the only people who ever say mean, insulting, wounding things to us are those of our own households." A little bit of thoughtfulness and consideration goes a long way when practiced in our relationship with others. On the other hand, curt words, rudeness, nagging, and complaining have a way of multiplying and increasing too. Long ago, the Oriental countries had a practice that was very effective in punishing lawbreakers. They would bind the criminal tightly so he could not move. Then let water drip on him for hours. Not a lot of water, but just a little, drop by drop, it would splash down upon his face. Of course, this didn't seem like much a punishment the first few hours, but after a day or so, it became pure agony. Just that the dripping was so regular, so inescapable, made it the greatest mental torture and would always, in time, drive the criminal insane. The wise man Solomon realized that few things in life are more difficult to bear than a nagging person said. A continual dropping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. A young man was concerned about the kind of wife he would marry. "How can I know that girl will make a pleasant and cheerful companion for me?" he asked a friend. The friend had good advice. "Go to her home when she does not know you are around," he said. "See if she does her share of the work cheerfully and well. Listen to her tone of voice as she talks to her brothers and sisters. If she is nagging and bossy, depend on it. That is what she will be like to you someday. But if she is kind and considerate, she will likely be the same when she is married." Some young people growl around home like wounded grizzlies, yet turn around and complain in self-pity because their parents have not provided them with a happy home life. Such young people like to say that when they have a home of their own, it is certainly going to be a happy Christian home. Nothing could be more absurd. What they are now at home is almost certainly the kind of husband or wife they will be once they are married. It is the responsibility of every member of the family to be cheerful, helpful, and patient. Everyone must do his part in keeping harmony in the household. A good working relationship requires a lot of give and take, of admitting our errors and confessing our faults. And most of all, we need to remember that it is not in the face of great tragedies that most men fall, but before the stress and agony of everyday living. So, are we prepared for the big trials that could easily come to Christians, like persecution and even a death in the family, if we can't even pass the small things of everyday life, if we grumble and growl at each other? It may be easier to face, well, I believe it would be easier to face a gun and say that you're a Christian than to actually live it out. But it's very important that we are consistent and a good testimony in these small things. We read in Luke 19:13. It's about a nobleman who has servants, and he's going into a far country, and he's testing those servants. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Yeah. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much they every man had gained by trading. Then the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. We know the rest of the story. It's you see, he gave them all a pound, and one gained 10, and one gained 5. Another account is another gospel is a little different. They both doubled what they had. But are we reaching our potential? Are we living up to our calling? Are we passing the seemingly small test in life? The little things matter greatly, and how we fail or pass them will determine whether we hold out in the long run or whether we're really prepared for the big trials.
Right, amen.
This next year, I want us to try and see how important the day in, day out frustrations and struggles that come against us and things that seem unimportant, how important they really are. You know, the Bible says, if thou contend with horsemen, no, thou contend with footmen and they have wearied thee, how shall thou contend with horsemen? If we can't stand up against the tests and trials that come, we shouldn't be so presumptuous to think that we will really stand up if there is persecution when our life is on the line. It's easy to talk about. I liked on that that song we sang, the wise man built his house on the sand. We sing that, but at the end, the wise man built his house on the rock. Sorry about that. But at the end, where it says, the blessings will come down as the prayers go up. Many people want to. They automatically picture blessings different than what they could be. A test or a trial, something that seems to be not in our best interest, may be. And maybe blessings we should look at as things that are preparing us for eternity, for the long haul, not just in this temporal life. So there's a lot of things that should be in the blessing category that we may fail to put there. And I with Noah, as Noah Matthew was sharing earlier about Elisha, and Elijah was testing him by asking him if he wanted to stay or telling him to stay, and Elijah was testing his loyalty. You know, it don't even take that much for people these days to turn away from the faith. That if anybody had an occasion to turn and feel justified, it would have been Elisha, because his master asked him if he wanted to stay back. We need to have that burning desire that Elisha had, that no matter what anybody says, they aren't going to stop us because we know what's right. Whether the pastor fails us or the whole church fails us, we need to stay on the path.
Right.
So, this next year, I hope we can remember to be diligent in the small things and not look at them as just small, insignificant things.
Amen.